Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
670 The Score in Chicago. Shout out to you guys, McNeil and Parkins. Love you guys.
Afternoons on The Score.
It's magical, good vibes.
Good vibes only, babe. McNeil and Parkins with Spiegs and Formack. I will do my very best not to say Spiegel and Parkins today. I'm going to try very, very hard. What's up, buddy?
I love that my radio legacy nine years of middays or a decade of middays, whatever it was, has basically been whittled down to Feldco, baseball, and good vibes, babe.
It's magical good vibes.
Good night, everybody. We are what we are.
Hey, man.
You do not get to define your own legacy, sir. You do not get to define it.
There are worse legacies to have.
I agree. I agree. That thank God all the drinking and drug use and nun abuse has been stricken from my record.
That's Mac's legacy. Don't get
hard
confused.
To differentiate. We all sound the same.
That's exactly right. Well, no, and parody songs.
Oh yeah, it's true.
That's a big part of, mm-hmm. of your legacy. But yeah, I mean your character birthed an impersonator in the form of Spat Meagle.
It's true.
James Woski.
Does Spat still live? Does Spat make appearances ever? Or now that I'm gone, is Spat also gone?
Well, you're gone and I don't work with Jay.
Oh right, of course.
So that's the problem. The breakdown happened there.
Remember when the I'm Fat podcast was just a bit? It was just like something that they would talk about and then you and I popularized it like crazy in terms
of No.
And people would say, hey, wait a minute, is that an actual thing? And it wasn't. And now how many episodes have they done? What the hell is this?
Well, not enough because they're lazy. But Campy wants to do more and more and more. Campy loves the I'm Fat podcast.
Yeah, he does.
Which is great.
Good for him.
He should.
You know, you spend your whole life looking for an avenue, something that defines you, and then it presents itself.
Well, yeah, you know. He's
like the Marc Maron of being fat.
we all have our things, you know, and in this continuing splintering world, right?
It's like, true.
Jay's got to, he's the hockey guy. Mm-hmm. Eli Hershkovich. He's like, there's no college basketball guy. I love college basketball.
Yeah.
Now he hosted Sunday on The Score. His first time ever hosting on this station was the Selection Sunday show.
Wow.
Then he came on with me nationally Sunday night. Then he went on with Dan and Connor yesterday. Then he went on with Lawrence last night. Now he's coming on with us today.
Breaking out huge.
He's breaking out huge because he found his niche. So whenever,
that's right.
You know.
Joe O is your gambling guy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Jay's the hockey guy and Campy's the fat guy. So, I mean, you know.
And I'm the vibes guy.
And you're positive vibes.
And
guy.
I don't even play vibes. But,
what are vibes?
Vibes is the vibraphone. You'd know him if you see him. It's
okay,
like, you know.
Okay, vibraphone. Good
one. Oh, jeez. I always forget who I'm dealing with.
Do you miss me?
Hold on. Let me turn on Parkins' conversational parameters. Let me flip that switch. Things to not include. Anything musical.
Wait, I thought that was a xylophone.
Well, yeah. It's similar. You can see the xylophone from there.
Yeah, okay. Google says people also search for xylophone.
Or Glockenspiel.
Glockenspiel also on there.
Sure. They're very
timpani.
Specific. Oh, boy. Timpani. No, timpani. But that's okay. All right, move on as quickly as possible.
The pen is mightier.
Timpani is actually who taught it to you back in grade school.
Timpanahill, I believe, is the full name. Have you won whatever Twitter contest you're in these
Absolutely
days,
Danny? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Tom Fornelli used the anti-Cubs sentiment to beat me handily. This guy, like, I had a lot of great tweets, artfully crafted, slamming him playfully, and he just said, this guy works for the Cubs.
Well, seriously. Tom Fornelli has had, his name came up before the show, has had like 9 iterations of White Sox blogs and parody Twitter accounts over the last decade. Just let the man have his glory. For God's sakes, back off, Tanny.
It was a hell of a performance out of you. You took down a one seed.
I beat a one seed in Chuck Garfine, and I'll put that on my headstone for sure.
It's fantastic work. This hour on The Score is brought to you by Family Hyundai.
Mm.
So I have no interest at all
in crapping on your beloved game of baseball through this Mike Trout conversation and transition. And I hope it didn't come across.
Not at all. Okay. It came across that way to Dan when I said that I might have to admit some sad truths or my, you know. But the thing is, I have admitted those truths. Like, I don't, people, you know, you can be a baseball devotee, a baseball proselytizer, a baseball religion person.
Sure.
And yet admit that the pace of it, the very nature of it, the style of it, the length of the season, the amount of focus it takes to truly know what's going on and have full-on knowledgeable conversations, all of that does not lend itself to our culture, our ever rapidly speeding culture. And I don't feel it's very necessary to try and get it back there. You know what I mean?
Neither do I.
And yet, I'm for some rule changes because people freak out about rule changes. But there's been rule changes in baseball forever. They lowered the freaking mound. You know, they're talking about lengthening now the space between the mound and home plate, which is kind of crazy. But I mean, these things have happened all the way through. It's happened in other sports too. So, you know, I've always bristled at the idea of a purist. People would call me a baseball purist. No, I'm not a purist. I'm a baseball lover. But
you're a baseball romantic.
Yeah, I'm a baseball romantic, but not a purist.
And so,
that's well said.
Okay. Well, and so to me, what's happening right now is there's a conversation about star making and popularity and like crossing over and saying, well, if baseball promoted Mike Trout more, he would cross over. And to generalize, young people kind of get to decide what is pop culturally relevant, right? Like, that's kind of how it works, whether it be social media, whether it be being name checked in a song, whether it be video games, whatever the case may be. Like, culture and relevance is normally driven by young people. Is that fair to say?
I don't think this is parsing words. You said that young people get to decide. I think aging people tend to give it to the young people. Like, we assign it, you know, like we kind of end up assigning it that way. Like, you have to admit that social media influencers are, you know, massively important in the culture. Even if you don't think they are, you kind of have to begrudgingly give them.
Well, but
that.
They are important in the young people culture, and young people are coming into, right, college and then the workforce, and then the advertisers are trying to target them. And like, Fortnite isn't the most popular video game because baby boomers are playing it. Mm-hmm. It's the most popular video game because young people are playing it, right? Esports is a thing because it's really targeted towards young people.
Man, do you know how many times, whether it was Tetris in college or Tecmo Super Bowl in the 90s, we would joke about, you know what? I think I'm ready to go pro.
Yeah, of course.
I think I'm ready. I think I'm going to do it. We'd make that joke. And now people have done it.
Yeah, Mario Kart.
Millions of people are doing it.
GoldenEye.
I had no idea that was going to be a thing.
It's insane, man.
Oh, I put in so much time, too. I should have just kept going.
Right. If you would have been playing Halo and then World of Warcraft.
Yeah, it's
and
just
then
game
Fortnite,
choices. It's totally true.
If you would have just gone down that road and kept up your level of play like that I had for NCAA College Football 2005.
Sure.
Oh my God. Roberson running the option with K-State, it was unguardable. It's unguardable. But what's happened basically is, in my opinion, young people will watch their baseball team when their baseball team is good. Right? When the Cubs are good, young people will watch. And that is borne out by the demographics of the ratings. When the Cubs are bad, they still do better than most teams in the ratings. But it more aligns with national baseball averages. Old people will consistently watch baseball through thick and thin as the companion sport of summer. And so since it's regionalized and younger people will more often are more likely to watch when their team is good, then whenever they're done watching their team, whether they watch the condensed version, they watch the YouTube, they watch the highlights, or they watch the full thing, instead of then going to MLB Network or
to watch a full game,
or MLB TV, or whatever, they play Fortnite, or they go on Netflix, or Amazon, or Hulu. And so it's just, we are more splintered than ever before.
Do you think people are more likely to watch two basketball games in a row than they are two baseball games in a row?
No, but the star...
They're shorter, I would say yes.
Okay, yes, more likely, absolutely, than baseball, but still not very likely among young people. But I think what happens with I'm purely talking about star making. I'm not talking about, again, the knowledge of Mike Trout being good. Basketball star making has never been a problem. Commercial endorsers, international icons, the sneaker culture, being referenced in rap songs, right? Like it's never been a problem for basketball. It's just a thing that the sport does really well.
You know, and obviously people are more likely to watch two NFL games in a row. Hell, you will sit there. Most people will sit there and watch four.
Correct. Well, it's one day.
Right. You're just absolutely loaded. Like if there's a London game, you're watching the London game, and then there are two afternoon games, and then you take an hour off and pretend you like your family. Then you go watch the night game.
That's right.
I cannot get away from it's just the very nature of the sport that you might tune in to a game and see Mike Montgomery throw six good innings and see Daniel Descalso go 2-for-4 in a 2-to-1 game, and you have seen nothing noteworthy from Chris Bryant or Javier Baez or Anthony Rizzo or whoever the hell they're playing. And that is completely and utterly acceptable within the context of the sport.
Yeah.
Whereas if I tune into a basketball game, I am going to see Steph Curry do something amazing. Whether he's great or they win or all the way, if he's playing, I will see him do something amazing within his context. You can bank on it. In baseball, you cannot.
Absolutely. And so the criticism that baseball gets for promoting its stars. So Connor said, I asked him for specifics and he said, lifting the blackout restrictions. Okay. What else? What else is baseball not doing that people think if they did, these guys would be big stars like an NFL quarterback or an NBA all-star?
See,
I don't think it exists.
I agree with your basic premise, but and so there are things, though, that they could do. There are without a doubt things that they could do to raise the profile, but I do agree that a giant megastar coming out of the sport is completely unlikely. So while I can agree with your premise, but also say the freaking Red Sox and Yankees do not need to be on every Sunday night game. And this is from a guy who grew up a Red Sox fan.
Sure.
Make the Angels play at 4 o'clock, at least twice a year, if not three times a year. Don't wait for them to come east. Go ahead and show the national audience Mike Trout in front of his home crowd and hope you get something great. There's no reason not to do that.
And 1 million people will tune in. It's just how it works. Mm-hmm. The ratings are not big. The ratings aren't big for Red Sox Yankees. There's just more people who happen to be fans of those teams. It's not like people in Kansas City or Milwaukee are watching Red Sox Yankees. It's just that Boston and New York are big cities and big baseball towns, and so they watch their teams.
What's your favorite sports television show of any kind these days?
Probably Inside the NBA.
Yeah, you love Inside the NBA. That's understandable.
Yeah, I love Inside the NBA.
And Inside the NBA will give you some cut-ins to live action every once in a while, but not really.
It's really just Barkley and those guys talking.
Conversation,
before, opinion,
before, during,
bits.
After.
Inside the NBA in the playoffs, to me, is about as good as it gets.
I love MLB Quick Pitch.
Okay.
I love an hour of completely unfiltered, it's not unfiltered, but it just feels unfiltered, but unadulterated highlights.
Sure.
Everything. Some context, some broadcaster, some facts, some stuff like that, but no opinioners. Nobody bloviating at me and telling me what I think. If people love baseball and have not tuned into that or think they might like baseball outside of their own local team, that's the show to watch.
Well produced,
right?
That show.
Phenomenal.
Like they use the radio from both teams, the TV from both teams to tell the story in 1 minute, whatever the game summary is. It's amazingly produced.
It is. And that is, strangely, the purest form of baseball that you could offer people, as opposed to expecting them to sit down and watch a 4-hour game. I don't think they're gonna.
I don't think they're going to either. And I'm positive that young people won't. And so I just think that the sport, I think they should do rule changes. I think that they should be active on social media. I think they should figure out how to segment and target in 4-minute games. And of course, mobile apps. Try your best. It's just the nature of the game and how the young consumer is consuming stuff today with 162 of them, and that your priority is always going to be your local team first.
Yeah.
I just don't think star making is baseball's thing anymore. It used to be. Baseball's really good at a lot of other things. It's really good at being a companion sport.
Yeah, that's what I've always called it. And it's constant presence over the course of 6 months. That's what makes it special.
It's really good about being for civic pride. It's amazing for civic pride.
Mm-hmm.
You go out of the country, you go out of town, you wear a Cubs hat because it's a Chicago hat, more like than you're going to wear a Bears hat or a Bulls hat. You know what I mean? It's really good at civic pride and that sort of thing. But it's just not good at star making. That's okay.
Yeah. It's. I think that's fine to admit. There are a lot of things it's really good at. It's really good at forcing you to be patient. And therefore, accepting failure, dealing with the realities of life where you fail a hell of a lot more often than you succeed and you better show up the next day. It's really good at that. It's also good at providing nuance. There is endless detail, endless conversational roads to go down during the course of a game or talking about a game that just happened. It is endless if you give yourself to it, if you give your attention to it. That's getting more challenging as we go in this culture like we're talking about. But if you give yourself to it, it will give you a hell of a lot back.
Matt Spiegel's in for Mac today. We are qualifying people for the final event for a shot at Cubs season tickets. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. Biggs in for Mac. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score. A lot of people are asking if there's a red zone equivalent on MLB Network. And there is, but people just don't watch.
Yeah, it's funny because MLB Tonight, which is, I believe, on just about every night from 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock our time during the season, has the ability to break into every game at any point.
Yep.
And they do. So it's conversation, it's features, it's interviews, it's highlights, but it's also, this is an interesting moment. Let's go check into that game. And sometimes the guys will be sitting there at their desks in the studio while the game's on, just kind of talking you through it, or sometimes they'll go to full audio of the broadcast. But yeah, like if you're on Twitter or your buddy texts you and says that somebody's got a perfect game going, turn on MLB Network. They're handing it to you.
And that's the only time that I do it. Is if there's a Twitter alert that, you know, someone's last at bat of their career is happening. Like, it's good for, you know, when Jeter was doing his farewell tour.
Absolutely.
Or that sort of thing. Or if there's a perfect game in progress.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, I've watched the Cubs and the Sox, and then I'm baseballed out.
Yeah.
For me I'm a local baseball fan.
And if I were the game, I would not be trying to get you to stick around and watch that second game. Yeah, I'd put him on more often, just like I think the NHL should put Connor McDavid on more, you know?
Sure.
But it's like, I would try to get you to watch Quick Pitch more. I would try to, you know, give you the small bite highlight. I mean, which I love to watch anyway. You know, in the morning you miss a basketball game, watch the 5-6 minute highlight or whatever
it is.
Yeah,
of course.
So, you know, and I would try to get you to do that. But this idea of getting you to watch that second game after your team is done is just not feasible, really.
I agree completely. Spiegs is in for Mac. There's ramifications for the Trout news for high-profile Cubs, and I want to talk White Sox with you as well. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.